But we, when we think about, okay, what have we done here? And we really, what we're doing is we're laying out exhibits that get into this whole concept of risk. Okay, where are people's risks? And for just the ordinary, you know, ordinary guys trying to make a living and make it ends meet, you know, the presumption that our public officials and our regulators are going to perform and protect the public interest is in my opinion, but I think what we're laying out here, it's really not opinion, it's fact-based. That is the greatest risk of all. And so I just want to stop here for a second, because for people to appreciate what we presented in our whistleblower submission in August of 2017, and then what we followed up in terms of our continued efforts in sharing those efforts with federal officials, both within the Bureau and within Justice, okay, going on through 2018 and then into 2019, okay, all laid out, these whiteboards, demonstrated whiteboards, okay, here's the playbook, okay, with almost every major crisis in this country, very regrettably, there have been indications that, you know what, that people on the inside were made aware of what might, either was going on or could have easily projected what was going on. We laid this out for them. All they needed to do was take one step forward and go into the Gates Foundation, go into the Global Fund, go up to Harvard University, okay? Go into some of these pharmaceutical companies, okay? And say, what is it that you guys are working on? Because we have indications of malfeasance. And you know what? Guaranteed somebody would have talked. Somebody always talks.
Somebody always talks.
Somebody,
and you know what?
Talks.
Somebody's always got the download, folks. They put that thumb drive in there and they go, I'm not going down for these people.
That's right.
Not only do all the cases get made that way, we've heard it within this case. I'm not going down for these people. So the bottom line is the evidence exists. It's playing out as scripted and delivered to the court years ago. To the people who listen, Mike, I say personalize this. I want you to be very practical to what's happening to you in your life. Is it good for you or is it not good for you? Are you putting your head in the sand about those people who get sick and are getting sick, or are you not putting your head in the sand? You just have to really personalize it and stop thinking that the other guy, the government, has all the answers, because the government doesn't have all the answers, and neither do the pharma companies. Otherwise, they wouldn't be flying under the cover of an EUA. The government wouldn't be giving it to them, and they wouldn't need it.
That's
simple.
And right along those lines, our public health officials, our public officials, massively conflicted. Okay? This is the big rig, okay, in terms of the regulatory capture. Our regulators are captured. They are protecting and promoting the interests of whether it's Wall Street for the Wall Street regulators, or whether it's Big Pharma for our public health officials. That's Tony Fauci and the rest of them. Tony Fauci has the checkbook, okay? He provides funding for a lot of the activities. Bill Gates backs them up. They're tied at the hip. They're working for the interests of those pharmaceutical companies and not working for your interest. We have seen this before. Okay, Michael, in our prior discussion, we talked about the adulterated drugs that Ranbaxy Labs from India distributed throughout the third world. Okay, garbage drugs that negatively impacted untold, you know, countless, you know, hundreds of thousands, you know, untold numbers of people in the developing world. Okay, from those adulterated meds. Okay, And now
they were bogus. They were bogus. They weren't meds at all. They were.
Well, and what's the issue there? The issue when people take ineffective drugs is that they end up developing drug resistance. Okay, they end up developing because the viruses mutate. Hello, and you end up with this drug resistance. What do you think is going on right now? Right, people took these vaccines starting this time a year ago, and like, okay, just take the vax and everything's going to be fine, right? But wait a second. Why are people who took those vaccines not only once, but then twice, and then a third time, they're still getting infected, right? The viruses mutate. Okay, well, they mutate because the drugs are ineffective. Are they ineffective intentionally so? That's a worthy question, right? But what we saw play out in the HIV model, which is representative of our case, the same thing is playing out here with COVID-19. That's what we laid out in June of 2020. And Michael, as you alluded to, August 3rd of 2021, none other than Tony Fauci, who's a fellow Holy Cross Crusader. So we've got two Holy Cross Crusaders on the line right now. And we're, honestly, we're in opposite corners of the other crusader. And he laid out in an interview on August 3rd, just 2021, just a few months ago, the fact that we're running this with the HIV model. And he laid out names by name, you know, Global Fund, Clinton Foundation, PEPFAR. I mean, that was a come to Jesus sort of moment, and we actually thanked Dr. Fauci for being so forthcoming, because he totally corroborated what we told you and your audience in June of 2020.
So, Mike, on that point, Larry is giving a very specific and tangible example of an element, a variable in that trajectory, that algorithm. As we talked about a few minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, it's a rational process. And it was only a matter of time before the rational process was exposed.
Do we lose Whitey?
I think maybe we lost him, maybe.
Let me
Larry.
Yeah,
he's back.
There he is.
Larry's back. Yeah, he's back. Yeah.
No. What I was saying is,
I thought they got you, Whitey.
You know, yeah. Thank you. I'm safe.
Unless we tap it into the phones, Michael.
Yeah, that's okay. We just keep rolling. We don't worry about that. They can listen now, or they can listen later.
Yeah.
Whatever they want to do. You still have a connection to him?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what's going on.
Kind of weird. Can you hear me? You hear us?
Yeah.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Everything's good.
Okay, well, let's get back at it. Hopefully, we lost you there for like half a minute.
I was just about
I'm still here though.
I was just about to besmirch Whitey, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's all right.
That's what his balls are there for. Break them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just Larry gave a great example of an element that we're using as a trajectory equation, and it was only a matter of time before Dr. Fauci cited the Clinton Foundation, because that's the predicate for these drug trials, which we're living now. I mean, we're participants in drug trials as opposed to recipients of drug trial research. So that's what's happening. That's how the HIV Clinton Foundation was involved before, and how we're involved with them now. So it's really, really not complicated. It's just you got to pay attention to the facts, and that's what we do. So it's all playing out. It's just the idea that no one can be held accountable, it's unacceptable. Yeah. Unacceptable.
Well, and again, they put forth these, you know, statements, and we're doing this and we're doing that, but ultimately it's all about follow the money. And when they talk about whether it's the vaccines, in which people inside the NIH have an equity stake in these vaccines, or their friends in private industry are protected in terms of the development of those vaccines. But there was a bombshell release that came out of Robert Kennedy's book, in which there was an exchange between two medical research people, a Dr. Tess Lowry, to her credit, independent a research analyst, in which she and a fellow by the name of Dr. Andrew Hill, and Dr. Andrew Hill from the University of Liverpool, but also affiliated with World Health, they both had an agreement after studying the data that this therapeutic called ivermectin was very effective, you know, to the tune of, I think it was an 80% effectiveness rate in terms of dealing with this virus. And it was like, this was early 2021, January of 2021. In fact, there was a conference on January 6th. Lots of stuff happening here in the States on January 6th, but over there, in the UK, they have this conference in which they both said, yep, we've studied the data. This drug, ivermectin, that's the, you know, appears to be a very effective therapeutic, and we should go with this. And then what happens? All of a sudden, they go to finish their reports, and they read Dr. Andrew Hill's report, and he does the 180. And it's like, what happened? And Tess Lowry says, you know, they have this exchange, and it's a must read in Robert Kennedy's book, The Real Anthony Fauci, in which, you know, she's saying, and this is, I'm reading right out of the book, if you're being paid for something and you're being told to support a certain narrative, that is a sensitive position. And in fact, there was a $40 million payment shortly before Hill's final report, in which he said, you know what, we can't support the use of ivermectin. And who was that payment from? It was from a Geneva-based World Health affiliate called Unitaid, which just
yeah,
so happens
Unitaid.
To be,
that's a familiar yeah, name.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a Gates, you know, backed Clinton initiative. They made a $40 million payment to the University of Liverpool, which looks like to be a payoff for Hill to, you know, to do a 180 on his research piece and crush the use of this ivermectin. They projected, you know, over the next 6 weeks, 500,000 lives could have and would have been saved. I mean, that this is prima facie evidence of you know, massive criminal activity, crimes against humanity. These people, you know, should be, let's put it this way, it should be meaningfully investigated, and if need be, charges should be brought.
That's not what you're going to originally say.
Okay, well, again, we're somewhat judicious here, right?
you were going, you know,
Mike,
you know,
the people have got to develop a sense of practicality. The government is formed as a result of the votes of the people, okay? And the bottom line is, don't just leave it up to the government to decide your mind for you. Because Larry is laying out the conflicts brilliantly that exist here. From a very practical standpoint, I challenge everybody who listens to you, just do something simple. The next time you're watching television, count randomly this hour, that hour, how many of the advertisements that whatever show you're watching, the football game or MASH or whatever show you're watching, how many of the advertisements are pharma companies? When was the last time you saw a Harley Davidson ad? An ad for a bicycle? How often do you see running shoes advertised? It's all pharma. Why? Because those are the guys that have the lobby. They can afford the commercial time, the key time when everybody's awake, not 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning where everybody's asleep. Literally, just go through all the channels, even the channels that you think might have a different bent, that might be more centrist or leaning one way or the other. It's all the pharma companies on all the channels. I do it all the time. I beg your people to be practical. Just do practical things in your life to see the playing field for what it is, not for what you hope it to be. And that's where Larry and I live, in the practicality of the evidence. The evidence supports our case. That's why we won summary judgment against the IRS. They continue to try to appeal it. They continue to try to knock us down. But in the end, us two schmoes won summary judgment as they moved on us, and they failed, and we won because we're keeping this practical in the audience. Can your kids sit at the same table with the kids with the peanut allergies? Can you just get penicillin whenever you want? Are the pharma ads dominating your viewership when you watch television? Take a look at it. Ask yourself those questions, and you'll come to a reasonable conclusion. What is going on here? Hold on a minute. Why don't I see an advertisement for Schwinn bicycles or running shoes or parachute jumping off? None of it. They can't afford it. These entities can't. The pharma companies can. And we're being inundated with it. That is a problem. You don't even see big bank lobby ads like you used to. It's pharma. Colossal shift. Very important to pay attention to the practicality of what's happening.
And along those lines, as people are asking themselves those questions, I would put forth, ask the very basic question, can I trust this crowd? Can I trust this crowd? Be inquisitive, because the evidence is overwhelming that they treat the general public as little more than easy prey. They just prey upon the general public. And the media covers for them. Very regrettably is not anything new. This has gone on for decades. I mean, you think back to the early 1900s,
right?
In the meatpacking industry, and the book written by Upton Sinclair, "The Jungle." That what was going on then was not simply in the meatpacking, in the food industry. It was also in the drug and pharmaceutical industry back then, too.
Same playbook. I talked about this the other night. It's unbelievable.
This is what they do, and they just, the general public, this isn't Democrat, Republican, the general public writ large is treated as little more than easy prey. Well, you know what? The general public doesn't need to be easily preyed upon. Be inquisitive, question. Don't just blindly accept that this is what they're saying. Ask questions, because what's reflected is the massive conflicts of interest. They're massively conflicted. And when there's a conflict of interest, guess what? You follow the money and you don't fall into the trap. And right now they're trying to set the biggest trap that's ever been set. Okay. In terms of personal control of our lives. If Whitey and I have anything to do with it, then you know what? We're in a pretty good position. You can rest assured we're not going down without a fight, okay? And we got a lot of information, and we're going to play our cards very, very aggressively.
Yeah, we feel a responsibility to do that, Mike. Look, it's just we happen to have the evidence, and the judge has the evidence. They're like, we're holding it. We've turned it over to the authorities. We tried to turn it over to an executive branch level agency, and they shut that down, namely IRS. They have supervision over nonprofits. The paradox of that is, had they actually pursued it and won the case, it would be to their benefit, right? They would be the tax collector. They would collect the tax on all the activities that were performed that are not tax exempt. the paradox is they're fighting on us to tell us, no, we don't like your case, which means they lose. Like, if we go forward and win, they win. So why would they want to lose? Why, other than political gerrymandering, political leverage, why would they want to lose? It doesn't make any sense.
It's a protection racket.
Other than
you know that.
Cover.
It's a protection
yeah,
racket.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike.
That's all it is.
But it's really not complicated. It's pretty simple. And it's for those same folks that are part of the Unity Construction, that are part of dissemination of USAID funds that went into these organizations. I mean, it's all in the case. It's all on the whiteboard. The judge has it all. It's just playing out as we supplement the record. And we need the judiciary to act responsibly in this country and not just be dismissive of the voices of Americans. Because if Americans feel that judiciary won't listen to them, even if they're wrong, even if we're wrong, you got to listen. That's your job. And to be dismissive of the complaints simply because you're politically swayed one way or the other, you don't like this guy, that just is the breakdown. That's the breakdown. That's the problem. We trust our judiciary. We need these folks to act independently. Not left, not right, independently, and look at evidence objectively. And we will be aggressive in presenting, as we are every month, the additional evidence. We are hot on it. Our case grows, as do the other nonprofits affiliated where our targets are on, and those cases grow too. This is an all-encompassing effort, and we're not stopping. It's not happening.
We're not stopping. You know? And to that point, it is, I don't know what the right term, a little chilling. You know, when we go back and we reflect on conversations that we had with officials whom we were engaging, and we keep copious notes. Everything is detailed notes, right? When we look back at conversations from 2018 and 2019 in which, you know, we lay out, everything was done in the spirit of partnership, right? We want to be a public service. We don't make any bones about it. We're looking for a whistleblower reward. That's why we started this in the first place. But it's all done in the spirit of partnership, a public service. But we also would tell them, make no mistakes, okay? If you don't make the case, we will, okay? And we are. And we have other, you know, causes of action. We filed other claims over and above the Clinton Foundation, and we have further rights of appeal that we could bring if need be. But ultimately, the American public is going to know what we know. Okay, we're not in a position to tell everything right now because our case is under seal. But we're fighting, and nobody on the inside can say, oh, you guys should have called us or you should have worked with us. Everybody that we engaged, we want to be partners with you. Okay?
And that includes people in the legislative branch.
That's right.
So we filed with the executive branch. We're in with the judiciary. But there are members of the legislative branch who you might think or hope would engage this process who have not.
Empty suits.
Yep.
Well, if I may just interject for a moment, we talk with people inside Justice, we talk with people inside Treasury that have seen the original exhibits from the case, certainly not the 10,000. Exhibits, but somewhere 5,000, 6,000. I mean, just a lot of evidence. And the rank and file and the middle management guys were interested in pursuing it and started to pursue it on both ends in Justice, FBI, and elsewhere. And as it got hotter and hotter and hotter, it was shut down. And it was described to us as a nuclear bomb. So you have more than their attention. I would say you have them by the balls. Because don't forget, the nuclear bomb here would be, well, when all else fails, we cut these 10,000 documents loose and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, and to that end, the American public learned on December 13th of 2018 that we're not partisan, right? Here we are in a pissing match with, you know, the with Mark Meadows and the other Republicans, and they're breaking our balls. And we're like, listen, you know what? We're here on behalf of the American on the American people. They ran background checks on us. There's a reason why the Democrats didn't show up that day. Because they realized, you know, that we aren't partisan hacks. Okay? And that nuclear bomb, honestly, I think it's only increased in power.
Yeah.
But we're very careful. We're not hotheads. Okay? We're very measured. We are here to win. Okay? We're here to win. Okay? That's how we're going to create the real change and hopefully the subsequent reforms that have to happen. We have to win. But I'll tell you this, we take heart in the fact that when we look at the indictments that have been handed down by the special prosecutor, that there are references to the Clinton Foundation, right? And the fact that the Sussman indictment, that he was of counsel to the Clinton Foundation. Well, how about that, right? And we got 10,000 pages of evidence.
Well, you met with Durham.
Yep.
Right? I mean, you met with John Durham. So, I mean, you can say that publicly, right? Or shouldn't I have said that?
No. That's not true. But we've spoken to the people in his office. Yes.
Okay.
On multiple occasions.
So there's
not met with him, but spoken to.
There's been interest from the special prosecutor's office. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. What I would say is. Yeah, the interest is yes. And two, what's really important to understand,
yeah,
Rule 6, Federal Rule Civil Procedure, Rule 6, grand jury material and the like. There are exceptions to disclosure, right? And in disclosure under that rule allows for intergovernment agency communication on subject matter, you know, if it's relevant. It's not about, are we going to go have tea and crumpets? If the subject matter material is relevant between one agency and the government or the vested interest in another, that is allowed to happen. And so I'll leave you with that thought as you, you know, inquire about special prosecutors, Clinton Foundation, and all that. That exception to the grand jury rule is allowed. Intergovernment communication on subject matter that's relevant between two government agencies.
John, let me ask you this, or Larry, both of you. I know what happened in Wuhan. What do you think, yep, or what do you know happened in Wuhan with all the research and all the U.S. funds that were laundered and funneled from different agencies and from nonprofits and from universities were all laundered into Wuhan, quarterbacked
it's
by...
It's in our case. It's in our case and sealed. It's all in there.
Okay, so you can't talk about that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that would be problematic. So...
If it's in your case, then you guys were ahead of the curve on that as well, because this stuff just magically happened to come out in Congress when it was way past the expiration date. It should have come out in March and April 2020. You know,
there's no magic here. There's a practical trajectory of what all of these people are doing. These globalists are doing. When they're looking for worlds without borders, universal health care, all of these wonderful ideological thoughts from a very practical standpoint within the confines of our case, are the attempts to move in the direction of those. These are all globalists. I don't consider them Democrats, Republicans, or independents. They're globalists. They have a mentality that that this is their planet. Somehow, you know, they don't believe that there was a creator or whatever. I mean, that's fine. I mean, whatever. But the bottom line is they are going to be the guardians of the planet. And so the rest of us are just actors in this play. And they'll do whatever they need to do to execute on this strategy. Myopically, with blindfolds on, as to what the real interests are of those of us who populate the planet. So I think you have to see it that way. At least that's how you see it how you want. Larry and I see it within the confines of evidence and being able to just logically project the evidence. One, two, three, four, what's the next? Five.